Hello, everyone. My name is Kay Reseed. I am one of the coordinators here with the Communications and Family Engagement Department with Natomas Unified. I am joined with Kristen Martin. She is an International Baccalaureate Coordinator, as well as Trevor McKenzie, a Canadian. You're a Canadian, right? an educator based in Canada, an author, a teacher of teachers. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kay.
Thanks, Kay. Thanks for having us. This is going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for hosting the conversation today.
Yes, thank you so much again for joining us. So we're here to talk about NUSD's International Baccalaureate program that we offer students and how inquiry-based learning is a part of that curriculum. And first and foremost, for the folks who don't know what IB learning is all about, Kristen, can you explain what that program is?
Yeah, so the International Baccalaureate is a global organization, and they really are, it's a program. They have programs for scholars from 3 years old all the way until they are in 12th grade. So they graduate, they have primary years program for our youngest scholars. That's 3-year-old through 12-year-olds. And then we have the middle years program that serves our middle school scholars, and that can be anywhere from 6th or 7th grade through 10th grade. And then we have the diploma program that is targeted to our high school students in 11th and 12th grade. And the programs really are based around this model. It's a global organization, so it's a model that is based around building our scholars' capacity as learners and really helping them to develop the skills and the dispositions that they need to engage as like lifelong learners in the global community. So it really focuses on harnessing international mindedness through inquiry, through concept-based instruction, connecting things in a meaningful way so they're not just learning to learn, but their learning is relevant and it's authentic and it's engaging for them.
And with that said, you mentioned that this is inquiry-based.
Yeah.
Trevor, this is your specialty. What is the difference between inquiry-based learning versus traditional teaching?
Yeah, you know, okay, we could talk about that question for days, and I mean that sincerely. You know, I've written a few publications on that topic, and you know, broadly speaking, inquiry-based learning, just as Kristen had said, is about curiosity. Like having scholars be curious about their learning really, really matters. And then also skill development. Like there are certain competencies and dispositions and habits of mind that in the inquiry model, we aim to nurture in our scholars to have them be somewhat future ready, you know, to address any tension or challenge or situation, you know, in any context. And so the skill set matters, that the curiosity matters. And then the third thing that really matters is something called student agency. And for those who are new to that term, student agency, we really mean that we want to cultivate the conditions for our students to have a certain amount of ownership over their learning. You know, sitting complacent, waiting for answers, waiting for questions, waiting for worksheets is not student agency. Student agency really is about students taking over a certain responsibility over the learning. And in that, the teacher and the student become more partners in learning. We co-design and co-construct with our scholars. So, and again, Kay, we could go on and on about that one particular question, but we're just kind of scratching at the surface of what it means to learn through an inquiry stance today on this episode, aren't we?
When you say we're just learning about this, this is something that you started developing some years ago. Did you want to share that story with us?
Yeah, you know, for sure, Kay. You know, I think I never learned of inquiry through my pre-service teaching or through a university program. Kind of ironically, I learned of inquiry through my students, through asking them particular questions, through really noticing and listening to what their needs were. And I suppose just being willing to try something different, right? To listen to my scholars and then try on a different lesson design or a different experience to see where it went. And there was one particular student. There are many students I think back of through those formative years of my 20 years of teaching, but there's one particular student that comes to mind. His name was Garrison. And for you know, broadly speaking, Garrison was really challenged in school. He found school irrelevant. Attendance was a significant challenge for Garrison. His parents didn't graduate high school, so there was little value placed on graduating from high school for Garrison. And I taught Garrison for 3 consecutive years, and he failed every single year. And Garrison was like, my hardest nut to crack. How could I better meet the needs of Garrison? And each year, Garrison would return to my classroom. Like he'd do summer school and then he'd come back in September. And I thought to myself, isn't Garrison tired of me yet? You know, he's failed 2, 3 times already. But, you know, I think what was a hallmark of my partnership with Garrison was we had strong relationship, you know, strong trust, a lot of openness, a lot of really critical discussions around what it meant to be successful in school. And then in grade 12, his senior year, you know, Garrison showed up again for another kick at the can. And before long, some old habits started to emerge. You know, after a few weeks, typically when the first assignment was due, Garrison would disappear, right? It was like a hallmark of Garrison's struggles was as soon as there was some accountability. And for a couple of days, I didn't see Garrison at all in school. You know, I'd do the regular rounds, looking in the hallways, looking at the skate park, seeing if he brought his skateboard to school and he was skating across the street from our school. And just ironically, one day I was in my car over lunch break going to a coffee shop and I saw Garrison skateboarding down the street. And I asked him to have a cup of coffee with me. And over that cup of coffee, something transformational happened for us both. I asked Garrison, what are you really passionate about? You know, what gets you ticking? And to my surprise, I thought he was going to say skateboarding. To my surprise, he said graffiti and graffiti art. And I said, no way, shut the front door, graffiti art? And he said, yeah, let me show you. And I thought he was going to take out his phone and show me photos. But instead, we took a short walk around a few corners behind our school. There was this abandoned warehouse, essentially. And along the back of the warehouse for like 40, 50, 60 feet long was Garrison's artwork. And this had been happening under my nose, unknowingly, for several years. He had been doing this as his side passion. Despite what was happening in school, Garrison had something that he was really, really interested in. And I took out my phone, Kay, and I was taking all these photos of the beautiful things I was seeing. Because as an English teacher, I could see symbolism, I could see theme, I could see conflict, I could see communication. But those were all things he wasn't demonstrating in the traditional classroom setting with me. And so I took all these photos and Garrison was looking at me like I was crazy. Like, you care about this? Really? And I said, Garrison, can you do something with this for me? Like, there is some amazing learning here. Can you do something with this for me? And he said, what do you want me to do? And with a kid like Garrison, you say anything. Like, give me something, Garrison. And then he said, when do you want it by? And I said, anytime. And I kid you not, the next day he returned to class, having not been there for several weeks. And he marched right over to my desk and he emphatically turned in an essay. And the essay was essentially describing why our experience the day before was so meaningful to him. How he had never had a teacher who asked him about what he was interested in, about what he was passionate about. He never had someone care about what he cared about. And it brings a tear to my eye now, thinking about it, because in the moment, it brought a tear to my eye then. And so I called over Garrison. I said, Garrison, we're onto something here. This is an amazing essay. I said, can you do more? And he said, sure. And he said, give me your phone, because I had taken all those photos from the day before. And he marched to the front of the class and he started to swipe through the photos. And essentially, he was doing a class presentation of the essay he had just written, but to his peers. And his peers were blown away. They had no idea. And so for the rest of the year, we dropped everything. You know, no more Shakespeare, no more, you know, persuasive essay on global warming. Instead, he was writing a persuasive letter to our mayor, trying to convince our municipality to legalize graffiti art in some of our public spaces. You know what the neat thing is? Now, 15 years later, you know what Garrison does for a living? He's an artist. And guess what municipality hires him to do art for public events, like concerts and markets and fundraisers? It's Garrison's graffiti art that's all over our municipality. And so I used to be quite humble about that story, Kay. I used to be like, oh, you know, that wasn't me, but that was us. That was Garrison and I working through some significant tensions as a learner and me being able to see the curriculum in his interests, in his passions, and then mapping out a learning kind of pathway from there. That's a pretty unique example. Not all students are exploring graffiti art. Not all students are able to take that level of ownership over their learning. But there's a metaphor there. There's a message there that teachers can do things different to best meet the needs of their students.
You know, with that said, he had a passion. He may not have conveyed it right away, but some students may not know what exactly they love just yet. So how does inquiry-based learning and then, you know, for us, international baccalaureate learning, how does that apply to all kids, or does it apply to all kids?
Yeah, Kay, you raise a fantastic point. There's this tension in asking our students what they're passionate about. And to be quite honest, I think it's an unfair question. It worked for Garrison, but I don't think it works for all scholars. And I think it's an unfair question because I think for something to become a passion, it requires a considerable amount of resilience and support from other people. You know, students who have parents and guardians who drive them to basketball practice four nights a week, or who pay for the extra rehearsals for their musical, you know, instruments, or who show up when no one else is showing up. That allows students to find a passion. And as we know, not all students have that support. And not all students have an entry point into some things that they're merely interested in. They're merely curious about. And that is the seed we are planting in the inquiry model and in IB, is we're trying to cultivate curiosity. We're trying to get our kids to see contextual importance and relevance in the learning. And who knows, maybe one day it will turn into a passion. But for now, curiosity matters. And that will be a hallmark of the work that we do in schools at our IB, is we want to create lessons and learning experience where the students are very curious.
And for you, Kristen, what are some of the concerns that parents and students may have before entering an IB school? And how do you allay some of those concerns and fears?
Well, I think oftentimes when students and families think of IB, they think of it as this very rigorous program that has these high expectations. And in some ways, that's correct. You know, we are asking our scholars to do the heavy lifting in the IB. We are not the ones that it's not a program where, as Trevor's kind of referred to, where the teachers are just providing answers for scholars. We're asking them to take on the, you know, the mindset of like, I'm going to push through and I'm going to persevere to get to these answers. And so there is a level of rigor, and I think that can be intimidating for scholars. But what I want them to know, and what I think Trevor's talking about when he's talking about curiosity, is that in the IB schools in Natomas Unified and in schools that really center their foundation on inquiry practices, it is difficult, it can be challenging, but there are supports in place, there are structures in place where we're fostering the skills in our classrooms. We're really explicitly teaching our scholars how to research. I was in a second grade classroom last week, and the teacher, they were doing free inquiry, which was allowing the scholars to explore. But that was, you know, that can seem intimidating when you think about it, but I saw scholars in second grade. There was one scholar wearing a basketball shirt, and he was researching how do families and friends help you get better at basketball. And he was reading an informational text on the computer. He was writing the sources and pulling information from what he had been reading. And so in second grade, these are seven-year-olds, they are able to do these things because they have been given the support and the environment that nurtures it. And so, yes, they are going to be difficult tasks, but as we kind of spoke to earlier, these are tasks that are going to prepare them to take on learning outside of the four walls of a classroom when they go out into the world and the world is changing. Trevor, did you want to add on to that?
You and I see this every day, Kristen, just with that young scholar you're referencing. Curiosity is a superpower. Like, when we have kids who are curious, that resilience, it's the stick-with-itness, the interests, the skills that they're sharpening beyond curiosity, critical thinking, collaboration, communication. From the outside looking in, it is high expectations, it for sure, when you think of what the IB experience is, what it looks like and sounds like and feels like. But when we see inquiry done really, really beautifully, and when teachers plan for curiosity, there's a level of engagement and belonging and confidence and competence that is unparalleled. And so I just want to really nail that piece, curiosity. When we nail that in the classroom, all those other pieces that some students may feel challenged by from the outside looking in are actually areas of strength, if you will.
Do you have any examples of where some alumni are at now after learning through the IB program or through inquiry-based learning?
Yeah, you know, well, for me, I hear from students all the time. You know, I think that's the beauty of being, you know, with the platform that I have on social media. They find me, they know I'm a published author, and they all keep in touch. And I kid you not, Kay, every once in a while, and I say maybe on the weekly, I either get a comment on a post or a DM or an email from a student who is grateful for the experience of which they had in the classroom setting. And what I mean by that is, they were studying something relevant or of high interest that has impacted their lives later. And I mean, sometimes a decade later, you get that email and you're like, who is that student again? I just had one from a student I taught her 12 years ago, and she was exploring nursing. She was interviewing nurses. She was reading about nursing. She was actually going and on the job place, on the job site, you know, watching nurses do their thing. And of course, it was all in anticipation of, do I actually want to be a nurse one day? Do I actually want to go to university and become a nurse? Well, guess what she's doing now, 12 years later? Of course, she's a nurse.
Yeah.
And she's grateful for that experience. Now, if she wasn't a nurse, and she would have still been grateful for that experience, but to a different degree because of the skills that she sharpened, the skills that she harnessed in the inquiry experience transcend context. You know, when we think about critical thinking, curiosity, collaboration, compassion, those are skills, those are learning muscles that can be flexed in any context, whether it's nursing or whether it's a job at a bank or a coach or a parent or with hobby or sport. Those skills transcend context. And that's the beautiful thing about the IB is students are becoming future ready, able to take on any context, any scenario or any challenge that they face.
I was just going to add to kind of extending that. I think something that we have spoken about, but we haven't really highlighted, is that the IB and inquiry really fosters a learning environment and a curriculum that is responsive to the variability of learners in our classroom. When we approach learning in a way that, you know, the teacher has all the information and we're just going to teach it and we're going to go on to the next thing, we have these standards, but the way that inquiry and the IB use it, we have really skillful practitioners in our classrooms that are saying, okay, these are the standards. This is what our scholars need to learn in second grade or in fifth grade or in middle school. And these are my content standards, but I'm going to approach organizing them in a way that makes it authentic and relevant and connects it through that conceptual lens. And when we do that, and when we use, you know, questioning and curiosity to really be the driver of where we go in our learning, we are creating space for a variability in our learners. Because, you know, when we create a curriculum, oftentimes, or we're handed a curriculum, it might be for the average or the one size fits all, but we know that our scholars are not one size fits all. And so we want to make sure that when we have opportunities to include their voice, and that's the agency piece, or really explore their curiosities, they are really having the opportunity to have the differentiation or the accommodations in the learning that support the variability that we have in our classrooms.
Anything else you'd like to add, Kristen? Trevor?
I'm just really excited about the work being done in NUSD. You know, I work with schools and school districts around the world. I can humbly say from Australia, Japan, China, you know, South Africa, across Europe, and of course, North America. And the work being done there is in NUSD is really, really fantastic. In part to the coordinators, you know, Kristen, yourself, you know, I know you're blushing right now. But the role of the coordinator is so important in making this work come alive. But I have to be honest, it comes down to the teacher in learning with students. And the staff in NUSD at these schools that are engaged in this work, they are just fantastic. So just a huge shout out to the teachers listening. You know, parents of those teachers, you know, give them a high five, because I'm just so grateful for their dedication, their professionalism.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, I agree. Trevor, unfortunately, isn't local, but I have the privilege of walking through these classrooms and seeing the inquiry in action and lifting up the practices that these teachers are taking on. You know, oftentimes people have this perspective that inquiry, oh, we're just letting them go, they're doing what they're doing, but it's a hard task to take on as a teacher and to come alongside your learners in this journey. And I think our teachers are, like Trevor said, working incredibly hard at this to really make students' learning visible and really make their classroom a space where everyone is engaged. And so a shout out to the teachers. But in addition to that, Trevor has been a great partner to our district. The work that he has done on supporting us coordinators in, you know, the interim between when he's doing PDs for our staff has been tremendous. I know I have grown as a coach and a leader in this work because of the partnership with Trevor, and just the way that he's inspired us to really see inquiry as an opportunity in our space has been such a great experience. So we are grateful to be with Trevor on this journey, and yeah, it's been, I think, the impact it's had in our community is definitely visible.
Well, thank you both so much, Kristen Morton with NUSD, you're an IB coordinator, and Trevor McKenzie, educator, author, teacher of teachers. And if you want to find more information about Trevor, he has a website, that's trevormckenzie.com. McKenzie is spelled MacKenzie. Again, he is an author, so if you wanted to get some of his books about inquiry-based learning. He has some great resources on his website. And in terms of us, Natomas Unified, our newest school to offer IB is Jefferson. So if you are interested, again, we are one of the more than 1,700 IB schools in the United States that offer this program. So we have more information on our website. That's natomasunified.org/international-baccalaureate. And I know you have more information in terms of individual schools, right?
Yes. So each of our schools that are either authorized or in candidacy for the IB program will have information specific to the curriculum and what the schools are doing on their school websites. So that would be Paso Verde School, Jefferson School, American Lakes, Bannon Creek, as well as H. Allen Height, Natomas Middle School, and Intercom High School.
Thank you again so much. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Natomas Unified School District. You can find our podcast online in the Apple Store, Google Play Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and the Natomas Unified School District website at www.natomasunified.org. You can also locate our episodes on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look for Natomas Unified.